And welcome back to a brand new episode of the Total Sports Live Podcast. It's been a minute since I've said that. I think it's been like since like May, so it's about right time. Welcome back to another episode. This is Jovan Alford, and you know who I'm joined by, my guy, Nick Earnshaw of The Shift. After we breaking down and talking about, yes, those Phillies, your town, your team, your Philadelphia Phillies are back in the postseason for the second straight year, which is something they haven't done since 2010, 2011. Now, just remember how old you were back when that happened. Some of y'all might be probably very young at that point. Others are probably going into college or in college. So, yeah, it's been a minute. A whole new era of Phillies baseball over that time. I think we went through like three different eras over that time with some dark ages in the middle. So, yeah, baseball, Phillies are back in the postseason. Second straight year. The defending NL champions, I think we cannot forget to say that, are trying to return to the World Series for the second straight year after finishing the regular season with a 90-72 record. They will open up the playoffs tomorrow night, Tuesday night, at home at Citizens Bank Park against the Miami Marlins. So we're going to talk about that, talk about the series, talk about what happened in the second half of the season, which was a complete turnaround for this Phillies team in various different facets of the game for them. And we're going to, like I said, talk about game one, break down the series, and also look at some X factors of who could be the difference makers for this Phillies team if they want to obviously advance to the NLDS and potentially get back to the World Series. But before we do that, make sure you are following the pod on Twitter at Total Sports Live and checking it out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. It's all right there. Just search TSL, Total Sports Live Podcast. Hit that follow button. Leave us a rating and review. We really appreciate it. And that's pretty much it. But like I said, I got Nick joining me today on the show. It's been a minute since we had Nick on the pod. It's been a minute since we did a pod here. I think it's coincidentally enough, the last time we did a pod was in May. It was me and Harrison, and we were breaking down the Phillies 10-game road trip in May, where it was like, this is either going to make or break what happens. That's literally the last pod we did, and now we come back talking about the Phillies in the postseason.
We're back, Jovan. It's great to join you once again. Listen, it's always great to talk Phillies. Always great to talk Phillies. Always. And you brought up something in the open right there. 2010, 2011. I was 10 years old when that happened. So, I mean, I don't want to make the listeners or you feel a little old, but I was 10. I was barely walking at that point. So, it's nice to finally have like postseason baseball back in Philadelphia. It's kind of becoming a reoccurring theme every year now. I like this. I like winning baseball when the Phillies are good. Like, it's awesome to watch. But this is going to be a great series. I'm excited to watch the Phillies against the Marlins. You get to face a division rival, possibly two yep. series in a row. That could be pretty cool to play the Marlins and then possibly the Braves again. So, I'm excited for this team. I think this team is built for the postseason. I think they are much better than they were even last year coming off an NL pennant win. So I think this is a postseason that Phillies fans should look forward to and listeners should look forward to, because this is a talented team and this is a special group. And it seems like the city and the fans have really fallen in love and connected with this ball club. So many personalities on this team. It's good. It's been fun to watch, and I'm excited to continue to watch the Phillies in prime time. They're in prime time in this first series against the Marlins. So it's going to be really cool. It's great to be back on the podcast again. I love doing these preview shows with you. They're always fun. It's a great time to be a Philly sports fan. I mean, the Eagles are 4-0. The Phillies are back in Red October. I mean, it's 2 years in a row we're kind of doing this thing, Jovan. I'm getting used to it a little bit.
Right. Hold on. That's so crazy you said that. Phillies are back in the postseason second year in a row. The Eagles are undefeated once again during this time. I'm like, Groundhog
Day.
Like,
it's Groundhog Day again. We're doing it again.
Great. And the Sixers are still the Sixers.
Well, yeah. We don't have to get into the other two teams. The Union are still pretty good, too. Union are still pretty good.
Got to give love to Jim Curtin, those guys putting in work. So, yeah, like you said, the Phillies back in the postseason for the second straight year, opening up against the Marlins, who coincidentally clinched their wild card playoff spot against the Pirates, which the Phillies also did a few days earlier. The Phillies will have Zach Wheeler on the mound, their ace, while the Marlins will give the ball to Jesus Luzardo, who has kind of been a revelation for that team in that rotation, a guy that was, you know, a few years ago, a top 10, you know, prospect in the Oakland Athletics system. And he's kind of, you know, they moved him and he goes to Miami. First year wasn't great, but this year is really coming to his own as a southpaw in that rotation. But before we get into game one, like you said, they're in prime time. Must be nice to, you know, be the defending NL champions to get that prime time spot on ESPN. Just, you know, thoughts on, you know, how they wrapped up the regular season, because, you know, we talked about this and just throughout the season, you know, this team had a bunch of series of ebbs and flows. You're trying to figure out who's doing what. You're, you know, Rhys Hoskins gets hurt in spring training. You're wondering, like, all right, who, what is going to work out this first base spot? You think Derek Hall is going to be that guy? That doesn't happen. You try Jake Cave there. You try Cody Clemens there. Then you get Bryce Harper at first. And it's all right. Like, we got, you're the first baseman there. And then you're trying to figure out your outfield situation because you're trying to figure out what's going on there. Then this young kid, 22-year-old, comes up from the minors. It's like, hold on, the Phillies actually bring up guys that, you know, that are not past their service time in the minors. They actually bring them up and they produce. So you get that second half. Trey Turner turns it around. Nick Castellanos, great first half. Struggled a little bit in the start of the second half. Really turned it on the late, looking like the Cincinnati Nick Castellanos. And yeah, this team hit a lot. I forgot what the number was, but this team hit a lot of home runs in the second half. Six players with 20 or more home runs. That's something that, I mean, that we haven't seen in a long time from this team. But, you know, just you know, Nick, what was your, you know, thoughts on how this team wrapped up the regular season? Because I think there was a little tenuous moments as we got into September, like, all right, They got the lead in the wild card. Will they blow this, or can they, like, kind of ride the momentum and keep afloat to get that wild card spot?
Yeah, they stayed the course, which is great, right? Like,
yes, yes.
Like, last year they were limping into the playoffs. Like, it was a struggle just to get in. We know what
it was very stressful. It was very stressful to watch.
There were times I wouldn't watch them some nights because I was so frustrated with how they were playing in September. It was a little bit of a different story this year. Like, we know about the September collapses in the past. They limped in last year. This year, they kind of stayed the course, held that top wild card spot for a long time, didn't fall out of it or anything, and they played pretty well to end the year. Listen, having six players on your team hit 20 or more home runs, huge. Alec Bohm into that conversation. A guy who I know we're going to get into, JT Realmuto. A quiet 20-plus homer year for him. I didn't realize, like, he hit 20 RBI for a catcher. Yeah, that's pretty damn good. Right. So I thought they finished the season well. I thought Aaron Nola looked really good in his last couple of starts, which was much, much needed heading into the postseason, because he is going to be a huge factor, not just in this series against the Marlins, but if they want to move forward, he's going to be huge. So I like the way he pitched his last couple of starts. This team looks like they're playing together. They're hitting the ball pretty well. I think overall the revelation of Johan Rojas, you kind of mentioned it there. Yes. I mean, when was the last time the Phillies really had some, like, core guys that they developed come up? I mean, Stott, Bohm, Rojas, they're finally starting to put together a little homegrown core here. And Suarez, another guy, right? It's like they have players that they've been able to develop, and that's been a huge revelation. Like, Rojas coming up, he came straight from Double A, so to see him get that, like, winning hit, he was hitting right around 300 to end the season. Like, that's a huge revelation, and that helps them in the outfield, right? You don't have to put Kyle Schwarber out in left field. You can have Brandon Marsh out in left, who I like better in left than center, to be honest. So,
right.
I think you could do different things with this lineup. And then having Bryce Harper really do a pretty decent job over at first base. I mean, the guy just, like, he can do anything, it feels like, and do it pretty well.
He puts his mind to it, right?
Yeah. I think they're in a good spot. They've been hitting the baseball pretty well. I think the pitching, a little concerning to end the season. There were some starts there from guys. Like, Wheeler's last start didn't go so well, only went four innings. I want to see them keep the pitch count down. Kimbrel kind of was struggling a little bit to end the season, so that's a little bit of a concern. But they stayed the course in September. They didn't fall out of the top wild card spot. They got the home field advantage. So that is what they needed to do. And they did that. So that gives me a lot of confidence heading in to this first wild card series.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I definitely agree with you there. Like you said, you know, Harper going over to first base, making a transition, coming back early from, you know, Tommy John, really, you know, starting off slow, but really picked it up. And as the season got into August, September, you started to see the swing come back. You started to see him comfortable at the plate and become that feared hitter where it's like, I don't know if we want to bring Bryce Harper up to the plate with, you know, a guy on first or like two guys on base, because you're trying to figure out like what's going to happen. And then you mentioned the outfield situation. You know, Nick Castellanos, you know, he might not win the Gold Glove in right field, but he's been pretty good, you know, at the plate and with the glove. Like you said, Rojas doing his thing. Marsh, you know, I think he set a career high in home runs this year, 2 with 12, which, you know, is crazy for a guy who, you know, was one of, again, we talk about this all the time in baseball, you know, a guy who was a top prospect in the Angels system and looked like there was a ton of promise, and they gave up on him too fast. Then Phillies come fix whatever approach they needed to at the plate, and it's worked out. And we also got to put some respect on, you know, Christian Pache too, you know, another former top prospect, you know, A's didn't want him, and then he joins the Phillies, and his bat haven't been what probably people expected to, but just what he does defensively with, you know, his speed and his range, I think will be a weapon. So, I mean, like you said, there's a lot of positive that this team can take going into game one. And, you know, let's jump into it. Game one tomorrow night, Tuesday night, game will be at 8 o'clock or 8:08. We'll say 8:08 on ESPN. Phillies, Marlins, Jesus Luzardo on the mound. Zach Wheeler, Luzardo, like we mentioned earlier in the pod, he's been a really good pitcher for that Marlins staff, especially with them losing Sandy Alcantara, you know, to the elbow injury, right? I think he had an elbow injury.
He's out. He got shut down, I believe, in mid September, early September. Yeah. They kind of shut him down, and he's not going to be able to go for the playoffs. Which I've talked about this a couple of times. Like, is that a good or a bad thing? Because Phillies have had success against Alcantara,
right? That's a fan, right?
So is it good or is it bad? I don't think you want to face a former Cy Young winner. So I guess it helps the Phillies out a little bit. But, you know, it sticks not to see him pitch in the postseason.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because, you know, the last time we saw the Marlins pitching in the playoffs was the COVID year, right? I think that was Alcantara, Sixto Sanchez. And Sixto, you know, he haven't been the same pitcher, no. You know, and that's another disappointment for that staff. But for all the disappointment and the injuries, Jesus Luzardo has kind of been that bright spot for him. 10-9, 3.63 ERA this season, 208 strikeouts and 178.2 innings pitch this season. However, on the road, where he's, you know, been a little shaky, 4.448 ERA. Opponents, this is a crazy when I saw this. Opponents are hitting 276 against him, but at home, Luzardo is only allowing opponents to hit 216. This season against the Phillies, Luzardo was 2-0 with a 3.65 ERA and 14 strikeouts in the 12 and a third. In his pitch. And as for Zach Wheeler, 13-6 this season, 212 strikeouts and 192 innings pitch at home this season. Wasn't great, 5-2 with a 4.13 ERA, even though that probably last start probably boosted that ERA up just a little bit. He still, all in all, had a good season for you as your ace. Opponents hitting 235 at home against him, 224 on the road this season against the Marlins. He had a 3 ERA. Marlins hit 217 off of him. He had 17 strikeouts and 18 innings pitched. He actually did not receive a decision in none of the three starts that he had against the Marlins. And however, the Phillies would go on to win, only going to win one of them against the Marlins. So I know people are concerned. I know social media people were concerned about the Marlins, but we're going to break it down here. So let's talk about game one. specifically Nick, you know, looking at this pitching matchup, what are your thoughts on Wheeler, but also Luzardo, who, like I said, he's been really good for, again, a guy who had a lot of promise in the A system, putting it together now for his hometown team, and now he's going to be starting game one of the playoffs.
Yeah, this is a really good matchup here between Luzardo and Wheeler. It's going to be fun. For me, the keys for the Phillies is to jump on Luzardo early. You want to get those early runs, right, against him. And he has trouble pitching on the road. You want to get the crowd into it and make him feel it a little bit. So for me, that's what the Phillies need to do in this game. This is a great pitching matchup. He's had a really good year. But if the Phillies can do that, it's going to be huge, because you also have to remember the Marlins are good in close games. You don't want to keep this game close. You want to try and jump on them early and try and pull away late. So the Marlins are 33-13 in one run games this year. It's pretty good. And you know, the Phillies, they have Wheeler on the mound. You want 6 or 7 innings out of him in this game, so you don't have to go into a long relief situation, run into a problem where you need a Lorenzen or a Christopher Sanchez to come in. You want this game to be clean. You want to jump on Luzardo early. I think that's what's going to be key here for the Phillies, because I understand some of the people's concerns, right? Like, the Marlins won 7 of 13 games against the Phillies this year. So it was fairly even, but they still got that extra nod. But what the Phillies did do is they outscored them 64-55. In all 13 of those games. So the Phillies can get a lot of runs. They just have to do it early on in this game, because you got that home field advantage. You want to take advantage of that, because it is a factor when it comes to Citizens Bank Park. It gets rocking. You want to make him feel a little uncomfortable. He doesn't seem to like all the stats you mentioned about him being on the road, right? Opponents are hitting a whopping 276 against them. I think the Phillies have the lineup to do it. You got to get on base early. And I think, if the Phillies do want to come out on top in this first game, it's going to be crucial in those first, second, third innings to get some runners on and be able to drive them in, because that's going to be a factor here. You don't want to keep the Marlins close, because if you keep it close, that's when they're able to pull out victories.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And looking at Luzardo's stats, going deeper into the numbers this season, first inning, he's actually been pretty solid in the first inning. 2.225 ERA, opponents only hitting 171. However, it starts to creep up a little bit. Second inning, it goes up to 3.38 ERA, 2.54. But then things go off the rails. Somehow, some way, it goes off the rails for him in the third inning. 5.62 ERA, batters hitting 287.
Woo!
Again, hitting 287. So, again, like you said, if they can jump on him early, and obviously, you know, you would like the first inning, but first three innings, if you can jump ahead out on him, it will be, you know, tremendous if you can, because you don't want to get him. You don't want him to get settled in, because when he have the count 1 and 2, a bonus only hitting 162 against him this year. So
it's like, you want to, instead of waiting for the second time around in the lineup, you want to get on him earlier in the ball game, and you want to get that crowd juiced, make him start to feel the pressure a little bit of starting in a postseason game. The Phillies have done that before, and you have a guy named Kyle Schwarber leading off, who has been unbelievable this year, has hit a ton of leadoff home runs. How nice would that be if he's able to set the tone early with a leadoff dinger? Like, that would be awesome. But as for Wheeler, listen, you need 6 or 7 out of him. In his starts in the month of September, he pitched in, 6 games in the month of September. In 4 of those games, he went 6 or more innings pitched. So I think it's something that definitely could happen. He's had a little bit of rest here to end the season. And I think if we look at work both sides of the plate, use his breaking pitches when need to. Use that heater to blow by guys, and he has that velocity up a little bit. That's when Wheeler's most effective. So I think that's very possible here. And if you could get him through those innings, and that third time around, if you could get him through against these Marlins hitters, I think the Phillies could be in good shape.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And I think people, like you said, people forget, right? You mentioned the Marlins like to play those close games because they do have the arms in the bullpen to go toe for toe with the Phillies or any team, you know, as we've seen this season. However, like you said, we can't sleep on their offense either. They got a guy named Jorge Soler who's hitting 275 against the Phillies this season. They also got Josh Bell, who was not doing nothing with the Cleveland Guardians, but he comes back to the NL East and life is good.
Yeah, I think they're going to have Luis Arraez back, but you don't know what you're going to get out of him. That I guess bodes well for the Phillies because he's been injured a little bit. He's been banged up. Are you going to get that same Luis Arraez who was really good to start the year, had a really good year, great batting average, we know. But he's another guy you have to factor in because they're going to get him back. I don't know if he's going to be 100%, but he's another factor in that lineup for sure. And another thing I wanted to add for the Phillies lineup, they're eighth in OPS versus lefties this year. Lizardo, he is a lefty. So I think that's really good, 0.779 OPS against left-handed pitching this year. Something to watch out for. The Phillies, a lot of right-handed bats. I think that could help them for sure.
Yeah, you would hope that the Phillies do take that approach at the plate where they're not just swinging at everything because they do have the tendency to just go up there.
The Nick Castellanos approach, right, Jovan?
Yeah. Yes. Even though Nick have done a great job this year, he's done better. Last postseason, like you said, he was just swinging at everything. He was just like, oh my gosh, all right, he's coming up in the World Series. Oh man, he's going to get his first pitch. He's going in the dirt, and you just know he's going
to hacking away. Just hacking away.
And you can't do that against Luzardo, when you do have good right-handed bats in this lineup, but the lefties, right? The Harpers, you know, the Stotts, the Schwarbers, like just don't go up there fishing. Like see your pitch, hit the ball, right? If you see that pitch hanging in the zone, you crush it. If you see it going way on the other side of the plate, don't swing. But I know that's easier said than said than done, especially when it's a lefty going against the lefty and the way that the arm angle is coming across the plate.
So you don't want to go up there hacking away like Castellanos can do at times. Like
Turner can do at times.
You gotta see pitches. You gotta be patient up there. You gotta have a patient approach against Lizardo. You want to make him work, especially since he's on the road. Since you're so successful against left-handed pitchers, make him work, make him throw you strike. And I think the Phillies will be successful. Like, wait for that fastball, right? With all the power hitters the Phillies have, wait for that fastball and be ready to load up and lock in. So, you know, I also see what you did there. You don't want to go fishing for any of the breaking stuff that Lizardo has. That was a great job by you right there. But I think the Phillies, I think they will stay patient. We've seen it throughout the year. That their approach at times could get away from them, but when they're sticking to that approach, they fall behind in counts that they're able to work back into it, right? And maybe even just work a walk or get a base hit late in a count. So I think it's very viable. I mean, it's why they're one of the best lineups in baseball, and I think that they're kind of built for this moment where they can stay patient and wait for the pitch they want.
Right, they're not going to be fazed by playing in the postseason lights for the first time. And you know, talking just outside of game one, let's talk about this series in general, because there's going to be some certain keys to victory for this team to win game one and to win this series. Obviously Zach Wheeler will be on the mound for game one, Luzardo game one for the Marlins, game two Nola versus Braxton Garrett, so they see back-to-back lefties, which I know makes Phillies fans a little trepidatious because you're like a right-hander, you know, coming right after the lefty, but you're going to get two southpaws. And then game three, if it gets there, you don't know which way, even though we probably already know that Rob Thompson has an idea who he's going to go with in game three, but you don't want to get to that point. So that being said, Nick, you know, what are just some of your keys for the Phillies to not only win game one, but just to win this series in general?
Yeah, I mentioned a little earlier, to win game one, they have to jump on the Marlins early. I think that's going to be key. You have to score first. I think that's very, very possible. You don't want to get – like, the Phillies do have depth in their bullpen. They have more depth than they did last year. But you don't want to have those long relievers come in, right? Like, you don't want to have to waste a Lorenzo. You don't have to waste a Christopher Sanchez or a Walker or a Ranger, whatever they want to do, whatever their plan is, right? So I feel like if they're able to have these starters go a little bit longer, your top guys like Wheeler and Nola, That's going to bode well for the Phillies. And then jumping on them in game one early is going to be huge. To win the series, I think Aaron Nola is a huge, huge key component here, because you don't know what Aaron Nola you're going to get. I think he is going to be extremely important, because you got to make sure his pitch count's down, because he could get that pitch count way up. He could be pitching well and be getting out of jams and not be giving up a ton of runs or anything, but he could get that pitch count up. And once that starts happening at like fourth inning, fifth inning, and you got to pull him,
and those pitches start to elevate a little bit more in the zone.
Starts leaving the hangers up there, Jovan. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want that to happen early in a ball game. It starts getting like sixth, seventh, eighth inning. All right, that means it's been a good Aaron Nola start. So Aaron Nola is a huge factor. If you get a good start out of him in game two, because I think the Phillies will win game one. If you can get a great start out of him in game two, get this series over with, I think that's really what's going to be the difference in this first round series in the wild card, because he has been so inconsistent throughout the year. But it seems like when the moment is right, especially this year, he has shown up. I mean, he showed up to send them to the postseason. Maybe he'll show up again in this next start. So I think Aaron Nola is going to be key. And I think the bats getting got, like we've talked about it a lot throughout the year. Like when you get runners on, you got to be able to drive them in. Driving in runs with runners in scoring position. They can't it's been a problem throughout the regular season. Let's not make it a problem throughout the postseason. Got to drive those runs in. If you get guys on base early on in an inning, they have to be driven in. And that's when you got to see that approach of staying patient, not getting too antsy at the plate. And I think the Phillies will be okay. And I trust them to kind of do that in this series.
Yeah, no, I agree with all your points there. Like you said, Aaron Nola, like you said, which one is going to show up? Because he's had an issue of keeping the ball up and giving up a ton of home runs. Like, you look at the major league leaders of giving up home runs this year. He's up there with guys that you do not want to be up there with. Like, you look at the got pitchers that give up home runs this year. Lance Lynn, 44. Lucas Giolito, 41. Jordan Lyles, 39. Trevor Williams, 34. JP Sears, 34. Patrick Corbin, 33. Aaron Nola, 32. That's not good to be in that category with all those guys. Now, granted, Joe Ryan is right behind him at 32. He's also in the postseason. But again, and Lance Lynn, is in the postseason too. But again, you don't want to be in that position. And you hope, and I think you hope as a Phillies fan, you hope that the light bulb kind of went off for him in that last road start against the Braves, where it just seemed like everything started to click. He was very deliberate on his pitches, where he wanted to go. There was no second guessing. It was he's hitting his spots. He's mixing up his pitches, and he kept the Braves hitters off balance. And even his last home start against the Pirates, he made it through despite getting that home run. He made it through, and you hope that he can lean on those things, because, like you said, we know what Wheeler is going to do. It's what is Aaron Nola going to do, especially knowing that this could potentially be his last season with the Phillies, as he's going to be a free agent. So what is he going to do to keep this team, you know, afloat, essentially?
Yeah, I mean, is he going to play himself into a bigger contract in the postseason? Like, all the regular season stuff can pretty much be forgotten if he pitches well in the big moments, right? That's what people will remember, and that's what you can pitch to potential teams in the offseason if you are going to leave Philadelphia or just to the Phillies if you're trying to negotiate a new contract to stay. That all can be pretty much forgotten if you come up big in these moments, and I think it's very possible. I mean, he's only given up one home run in his last three starts in that Pittsburgh game where he was unbelievable, right? If it's 6 2/3 innings in that one. So his last three starts, only one home run. It seems like he hasn't been leaving those hanging curveballs over the plate, because like he's got a good curveball, but it's not like a great curveball. Like sometimes he gets too curveball happy, and that's when he starts leaving the hangers over the plate, and power hitters or just hitters in general are just waiting for it. So when he's working that fastball, when he's working his other pitches, other secondary pitches, that's when Nola's a big factor. And then he's able to work that curveball in to get people out instead of relying so much on it. So I think he's a huge factor, and I think most people would agree. If you get a good start out of him, the Phillies could be on a roll here.
Yeah, for sure. And you can't, like you said, you can't leave those hangers in there, especially when you got Jorge Soler, Josh Bell, and Jake Berger, who was a great acquisition by the Marlins at the deadline. You can't leave because those guys can hit it a little bit. Yep. So, yeah, can't do that. Another thing that we mentioned, obviously, too, was the bullpen, the back end of the bullpen. It's not going to be pretty sometimes, but they, like you said, they have, they're better back there. You got Craig Kimbrel, you got Alvarado, who's probably your best arm right now.
Yep.
And to save a game, you have Sir Anthony, who had a clean last outing, which I think, you know, brings you some sigh of relief. You have Gregory Soto. You have Jeff Hoffman, who's been tremendous, you know, a guy that was a former starter coming in, you know, reinvent himself as a reliever. Gregory Soto, who's been up and down on the roller coaster. And then you have Orion Kerkering, who, you know, the Phillies brought him up for a reason. And the reason was for these moments in the postseason. So the back end of this bullpen, like you said, Nick, if they can get through six innings at least, you have the pieces to get to the bridge to win the game. But who can you trust out of that bullpen to kind of bridge you to that win in the ninth inning?
Yeah, and I love bringing up Kerkering because that slider is just filthy.
It's crazy.
It brings an element of surprise for the Phillies against opposing teams. Like it, because like you don't have much on them, right? Like you haven't seen a ton of them. So it's like it's an element of surprise that Rob Thompson has in his toolbox. So I love bringing him up to the 40 man and getting him into the postseason. So we might see him at times. I don't know, but you name the guys: Hoffman, Soto, Craig Kimbrel, Alvarado. All these guys, even Matt Strom,
Dominguez, Strom. I forgot to mention Strom, who's been probably your second best reliever this season.
So I mean, they got arms in there. You know, they're not going to be perfect every single outing, right? But you do have a lot of confidence in these guys to come out and perform. But for Kimbrel, he's got a little worried about him. Got to be a little bit worried. He does give up. He does give, like, it feels like he goes out there and he'll give up. If it doesn't have to be a home run, it'll be a long fly ball, and your heart just starts to sink, Jovan, every time. I've talked about this all season long. Like, it just feels like your heart's about to sink, and Kimbrel could give up a long ball at any shot. He can pitch every other pitch he's made except for that one, it could kill him. So, I like the idea that Thompson's not just committing to him as his closer. It's going to be a feeling out process. Where's the game at? What are the matchups here heading into the eighth and ninth inning? This bullpen's even better than last year. I have confidence in this bullpen. Jose Alvarado, lights out. Guy's been phenomenal. I love Strom. Sir Anthony, he's come along here and there. He's struggled. He's had injuries throughout the season. But now he has that postseason experience behind him, so you can bring him into these moments, and hopefully he can live up to it again. So I think this year you have some stability in the pitching staff, in the bullpen. But it's still nice to give those guys rest because they've worked a lot this year. They've pitched a lot of innings throughout the season. So if you could get your Wheeler and Nolas through 6-7 innings and not have to use a ton of your guys in the bullpen, save them for the NLDS if you could get there, I think that would be a positive leaving this series against the Marlins.
Most definitely. This is the Total Sports Live podcast here. Nick and Jovan breaking down the Phillies postseason as they will begin their journey to potentially return into the World Series on Tuesday night against the Miami Marlins in the wild card round. And before we give our series predictions, we do got to talk about one more player who I had written down on here. And that is, we talked about which Aaron Nola will show up. But the question is now, which JT Realmuto will show up? Because he's been up and down. You don't know. And I think his splits are probably the most egregious splits we've probably seen in a while from a player. JT Realmuto at home this season, slashing 198, 257, 320 with 6 home runs and 33 RBIs. However, on the road, it's been amazing. 306, 364, 587, 14 home runs and 30 RBIs. His splits between home and road have been crazy, and it doesn't make a lot of sense on like how this has transpired for him. However, I did see a quote today where he did say that this year, this has been the healthiest he's been all year, which I think is a positive, even though the splits don't indicate that, because there were some times in the second half of the season where you're like, oh my God, he's coming up the plate and he's just going to whiff through like all three pitches and, you know, go back down to the plate. So which one shows up will be very key, because he's going to be in the middle of that 4-5 lineup spot where he's going to have to be, he's going to either be in a spot to lead off an inning, or he's going to be in a spot where we just talked about earlier, runners in scoring position.
Yeah, I don't get it. I just don't get it. Like the splits, like home and away, he's a totally different player. And it's funny because like he hit that 20th home run was at home. So everyone's like, oh yeah, we got JT back. He's going to start hitting home again. I hope so. I hope so, Jovan. He comes up to the plate with runners in scoring position, ninth inning. I don't care. It's like a big spot. I don't have confidence in him, Jovan. Like I don't. I hope I could change in the postseason because he's a veteran player. He's been such a good catcher for the Phillies, offensively and defensively. Been amazing. I hope he could turn it around. I hope the home away thing doesn't get into his head at all. And I don't think it will, because he's been in this league a long time. He's one of the leaders in that locker room. He needs to have a big series. And he's going to come up, like you mentioned, with runners on. He's going to come up in these spots where you're going to need him to come through. And hopefully being at hopefully he gets juiced by the crowd a little bit here in the postseason, because he is an important factor in this series, because at times throughout the season, he comes up to the plate and he doesn't have those long at bats. He's not seeing a lot of pitches.
He's just swinging.
He's just whiffing at pitches. So that's going to be key. I'm curious to see his approach at the plate in different spots. I hope I hope him and Kevin Long maybe have worked on something and talked about it. I'm sure they have. He needs to see more pitches in these big moments. He needs to see more pitches with runners on. I don't want to go up there. I don't want to see him go up there swinging, whiffing at balls in the dirt, like just having a bad at bat to take the air and life out of the momentum the Phillies are trying to bring in these situations, because it's happened this year. It's happened in games before. So I think you're totally on point here. He's an X factor in this series. Like he has to have a big series. Like you expect the other guys to really kind of step up, but JT has struggled in those moments. He struggled at home. We have to see it. We have to see it in this series and going forward into the postseason. And I think he's key. He's key. He's got to see a lot more pitches. He can't be having these bad at bats where he's just striking out on 1-2 counts, 0-2 counts. It can't happen for a veteran player like that.
It can't. So, hey, we'll see how it happens. Like you said, he's the key cog. And, you know, if he can look like the JT that we saw in the postseason last year,
right,
that will make this lineup more lethal. And it won't put a lot of pressure on the bottom of the order, which has surprisingly been very consistent. When you look between top of the order, bottom of the order, bottom of the order of the lineup has been very consistent, despite having a ton of moving pieces and guys in and out the lineup and moving up and down the batting order. The bottom of the order has been good. So if he can be, again, I keep on talking about the bridge. Like if he can be that bridge in the middle of that lineup to hit and bring guys home and run into scoring position, it'll do a ton for this team and a ton for the rest of the guys in the lineup. So we'll see what happens there. Before we wrap again, make sure you are tuned in to the Total Sports Live podcast. Make sure you are following us on Twitter and you're checking out this podcast on all your streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcast is right there on your phone, on your computer, wherever you listen to your podcast, it's right there. You can stream it right now. If you're listening to this, then you continue to stream. So it's right there on your phones and on your computer. So let's get into series predictions here. The Phillies are -168 favorites on the money line to win game one, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, and -200 favorites to win the series. We always have some strikeout props coming out too. Zach Wheeler's over under on his strikeouts is 6.5. Lizardo's over 5.5. I mean, it's at -150 for Lizardo on the overs. I think Vegas expects the Phillies to be within a ton. And then we also have some batter props also up as well for a home run. Schwarber right now is the favorite between both teams to hit a home run at +390, with Trey Turner as the favorite between both teams to record two or more total bases at -110. on FanDuel. So, Nick, series predictions and the X Factor player, like you said, we talked about it. Who's going to be you? You have it written down here. This player has to blank for the Phillies to win this series.
Yeah, I think the Phillies are going to win this series. I think they're going to win it in two games. I think Nola will come out with a pretty good start. I think they're going to get a lot of runs. I think they're going to be able to hit the baseball really well. So I do expect the Phillies to win this series in two games. Send everyone home happy at Citizens Bank Park and move on to the next round. That is my prediction. I think Wheeler is going to go six innings. I think he's going to go over. I think he has eight strikeouts in the first game. I think he's going to pitch really well. I don't think the Marlins are ready for the moment. They kind of just snuck in. They're pitching. I don't know. It's good. I think the Phillies lineup's that much better. So I expect the Phillies to sweep this series in two games. For me, Bryson Stott has to have four more hits in these two games, or at least in the series. He has to have at least because I think it's going to go two. I think Bryson Stott, if he has four more hits in this series, the Phillies will definitely win. Because I expect him to be a key contributor throughout the postseason in this wild card series. To me, I think he's going to break out. I think this is really a breaking out party, a coming out party for him. And now, because I feel like nationally he's been a little underrated, right? Like he's got a great glove. He's hit really well this year, and he's only 25 years old. Like, I think this is the year of the young player, right? We've seen Arizona get into the playoffs. We've seen the Baltimore Orioles with a lot of young players, a young core over there, get into the playoffs. Like, I think this is the year of the young player. I think Bryson Stott is going to really show who he is and how good he is on the national stage. So, Bryson Stott, four more hits in this series. Phillies are going to win.
I like that. I like that. For me, I'm going to agree with you. I think the Phillies do get it done in two. It won't be easy because they never make it easy. I think you'll be sweating with the bullpen a little bit, not because the bullpen's going to do anything crazy, but again, respect to this Marlins lineup and the guys that they do have there that can put a jolt into the bat a little bit. You know, we're talking about the Solares, the Burgers, you know, the Bells, like Arise, even though if he's not even close to the player he is, just the mere fact of trying to keep him off base, you know, to not set the table for other guys, I think is going to be a huge in this matchup. Like I said, I agree with you. I think they win it in two. And for me, I'm going to say Nick Castellanos. If Nick Castellanos has two home runs in this series, then I think the Phillies win. And
I like it.
I say that because Nick hasn't played well against the Marlins this year. He's only he has played well against the Marlins. Excuse me. I was looking at Milwaukee's numbers, but against the Marlins, he's hitting .300. He's played great against the Marlins. Let me rephrase that. Hitting .313 against the Marlins this season, 15 strikeouts, which is you don't like. However, four walks, which I do like, four walks, a home run, nine RBIs. Four doubles, by the way, which is good. I'll take those extra base hits all the time. So I think if Nick gives two home runs, he's hit well at home this season, batting over .300, 18 home runs. Everybody's going to expect the Schwarbers and Harper to hit a home run. But I think if he goes yard, which is something that I think he didn't do last postseason, which he kind of struggled to at that bat, if he can get the party started, you know, again, hitting two home runs in a three-game series is probably unheard of. It's not easy to do, but if he can at least get a home run and then get those extra base hits, like I just mentioned, he had four doubles against this team. If he get a couple of doubles to bring guys home or to set the table for people behind him, I think that'll be good enough for the Phillies to win this series. And like you said, hopefully move on to the NLDS. To face another NL East opponent where the games will be, we talk about more high strung. I mean, if people remember last year's NLDS and how just pressurized that was, even after them winning game one, we'll see how it goes. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a fun one. Phillies Marlins begin Tuesday night on ESPN, part of a quadruple header across the ESPN family and networks. We got what? We got Rays, Rangers tomorrow, Twins, yeah. Blue Jays, which I think could be a very sneaky series. I know a lot of people are picking the Twins, but that's a very sneaky series. I understand why, because they got Sonny Gray and they got Joe Ryan and I'm missing one more pitcher, and he just came across my mind, and I don't remember who they have for the Twins outside of that. I know
Pablo
the pitcher.
Lopez.
Yeah, Pablo Lopez. Yeah, the former Marlin. Yeah. That's what I was forgetting.
That was a Luis Arraez trade, right? I believe.
Yes, he was. Yeah. Win-win trade for both sides, which rarely happens. I think that's going to be a great series. I think a lot of people I understand the Twins have the arms, but that Blue Jays offense got some guys too that can make it interesting. We also have, like you said, Phillies, Marlins, Diamondbacks, Brewers, which a lot of people think the Diamondbacks threw those games so they didn't have to come to Philly. But hey, you know, I'm not going to judge there. I'm not going to judge.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I like a lot of these games. It's a full slate of games, and the Phillies get to top it off at 8 o'clock. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about all those series. On the shift, I have a couple of predictions I'll leave it to that. But there's some fun ones on there that we got going. And it's with my theme of young players this year. I think it's a young players postseason. Kind of up and coming guys that were going to start to become a household name. So a lot of great baseball coming up. Now I got to ask you, Jovan, do you plan on attending any of the postseason games this year the Phillies are in, if they move on past the wild card, at least?
I wish I could, but I like the atmosphere of being at home and being able to go crazy in my house and in my basement and, you know, lose my mind and, you know, have that feeling. So
I attended last season. I attended the clincher against the Braves and the clincher again to go to the World Series. Those are the two games I attended.
Oh, nice.
So I plan on going back to at least one. I don't know if I'll get to a wild card game, but NLDS, right. NLCS, I will be there for at least one of those games. No doubt in my mind. I don't care. I'm going to be there for one of them. I have to be. The bank's going to be rocking, and we know that, and you can feel the energy from your couch at home. Like, I can't wait, man. It's going to be fun. We're going to do another one of these soon. I feel it. We're going to be proving it in another series.
I hope so. It's going to be a fun one. Like you said, Total Sports Live podcast. Again, make sure you're following us on Twitter at Total Sports Live. Make sure you're following the podcast on all the streaming networks and platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, all that good stuff. Wherever you get podcasts from, you get podcasts from anywhere these days. Find a spot. Hit that download button, leave us a review, rating. Just tune in, check us out, see what you have to see, what you say about this Phillies team and just Philly sports in general, as we hope to ramp it up a little bit with the Phillies in the playoffs, the Eagles season continuing, the Sixers about to start soon, which is a whole nother podcast to talk about a whole nother day.
Spend a couple of episodes on that. My God. Yeah.
there could be multiple episodes on that. But before we do wrap up, Nick, anything people should be looking out for on your end, the shift, where people can find it at, where people can tune in, all that good stuff.
So Francisco and I got a couple of more episodes coming out. We'll be putting content out throughout the postseason for sure, all on all Major League Baseball, the entire postseason. We got plenty of episodes coming. So once a week, we'll be doing that. And also 97.3 ESPN, I'll be popping up down there on the weekend. So it should be fun. So that's what I got going on. And obviously TSL, man, we got to go. We got to roll with this Phillies postseason preview. We got more to come.
Yes, definitely do. So, hey, there you go. Follow all those things. Do your thing. Follow us on Twitter at Jovan10 at NEARN_9 on Twitter and X. Do all that good stuff. For me and Nick, everyone have a good one. Hopefully, we'll be talking to you guys about an NLDS next week. Hopefully, we're going to hope. But enjoy the baseball across the league. And it should be a fun playoff. So for everyone, have a good one. And we'll talk to you all very soon.